Okay, why don't we start school on Saturday, huh? We could all go to school on Saturday and maybe Radio 5 have something to say about that.
Good morning, schools.
Hi.
This morning's program is for classes who are taking O-level rubbish. It's in conjunction with the concurrent courses on O-level insomnia, O-level group sex, and A-level spitting. O-level rubbish. Hello there. Do you remember last week's lesson? Yes, Heidi had just emptied a bucket of cold veal over Mr. Robinson. This week, she's going to get her bottom smacked. And you can see that on Sex for Schools on BBC Two, introduced by Michael Aspel. Those of you taking O-level Michael Aspel might like to know that Dr. Bernofsky will be lecturing on the ascent of Aspel near the traffic lights at Shepherd's Bush, or in Sid's Caff if wet. O-level rubbish.
Hello.
To pass O-level rubbish, you will have to satisfy the examiners that you are fluently and proficiently cuckoo. You will have to sit on a written paper for 3 hours without writing anything down, and then speak fluent rubbish to an oral hygienist for at least 5 minutes. Later on in this lesson, you will need a warm rag soaked in soapy water, a large lettuce, a pair of thumbless gloves, a copy of Swedish Body in the Buff magazine, a photo of the editor of the Radio Times, some of Tony Blackburn's radio makeup. Look, what is going on? Hello?
Ah, hello. HMD Red, broadcast head of B1 here.
Who?
I forget my own name, but I am definitely HMD Red, broadcast head of B1. It says so on my door. Oh, unless I'm in the wrong office. I don't think I'm in the wrong office.
Look, I'm trying to do a sketch. This is Radio 5. We're on the air.
Yes. The thing is, you haven't started your program properly. You see, we must have proper starts for the programs, or our disc jockeys get confused. That was the first thing they taught us at program planning college.
But this is a sort of wacky show, you know.
Hi.
Oh, BBC. You're listening to Radio 5 on Radio 1. Ha ha. Chant. 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 On Tuesday, the Royal British Sadists present a grand masochistic gala at the Royal Sick Hospital for Well People. Hair shirt and black tie compulsory, this grand masochistic evening, in the gracious presence of the Chief Whip, is in aid of the Save the Sadists Fund of Great Britain, patron His Royal Highness the Duke of Scunthorpe, and will be held to mark the skin of everyone present. Come to fabulous Earl's Court for your holidays. Nestling at the heart of London's housing shortage lies bustling Earl's Court, homeland of London's Australian dentists. Within the boundaries of the historic Royal Borough of Kensington, London's fastest-growing slum, Earl's Court is within kicking distance of the Chelsea football ground. Yes, make it Earl's Court for your summer holidays. You won't live to regret it. Listen to fabulous Kris Kristofferson singing Me and Bobby McGee, followed by the evergreen Rolling Stones singing The Last Time, right now.
One, two, three, four. Busted flat in Baton Rouge and heading for the trains. Feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. Took us all away to New Orleans. I took my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana and was blowing sad while Bobby sang the blues. With them windshield wipers slapping time and Bobby clapping hands, we finally sang a velvet song that driver knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free. Feeling good was easy loving. Bobby sang the blues. Feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and Bobby McGee. From the coal mines of Kentucky to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Standing right beside me, Lord, through everything I'd done, every night she kept me from the cold. Then somewhere near Salinas, Lord, I let her slip away. Looking for the home I hope she'll find. And I'd trade all my tomorrows for a single yesterday, holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing left is all she left for me. Feeling good was easy loving. Bobby sang the blues. Buddy, that was good enough for me. Good enough for me and Bobby McGee. Da 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 me and Bobby McGee. La 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 la.
In these days of appalling tension, neighbor fighting against neighbor, why not pause a moment or two with us and count your blessings? Hello, everybody. I'm Harry. I used to be the organist at the chapel in the valley, but the chapel is now a pizza parlor, and the valley is now a used oil dump. But I'm still here to help you count your blessings. And a Mrs. Amelia McAlpine Splendor has written to me from darkest Esher to say that although her mother has died, her husband has run away to the big city of Seven Oaks, Kent, her budgie has been shot while attempting to escape, and her pussycat has been arrested, she still has the biggest washing machine in the street. And she has asked for that to be remembered by Mrs. Parkinson of 34, Mrs. Tweedy of 16, and that silly old cow with the single tub spin dryer at number 9. Your prayers today are also specially requested for Mr. Harris of Hartlepool, who tragically has just had a neighbor move in next door with a bigger caravan. And he would appreciate your prayers in burning it down. Next, we turn to a Mrs. Ness of 34 Abiding Terrace, Sheffield, Wiltshire, who counts her blessings that she is so rich she doesn't have to speak to any of her appalling neighbors. And in particular, that fat Mrs. MacArthur and the old goat, Mrs. Moneypenny. A Mrs. Lowndes of Dungeness, Great Yarmouth, gives grateful thanks for the death of her late husband, Ronnie, who departed this life insurance policy last month. And a Mrs. Parker offers thanks for her color television, still the only one in Lyme Regis. A Mrs. Brownabender of East Racial Street would like it to be remembered that she has more things in her house than anyone in Surbiton. And a Captain Alan Patterson gives grateful thanks for being so snobbish. For all of these people, Mary is going to sing How Sweetly I Am Paid.
How sweetly I am paid by the people sing. They give me lots of dough regularly.
Thank you, Mary. And finally, I would like to turn to a Miss Soames of the Suspender Parlor Bootle. But before I do, here's wishing you everything you ever wished for yourself. Yours, very, very sincerely, Harry. Next week, Count Your Blessings comes from Downing Street, and Roger Daltrey comes from Shepherd's Bush.
I paid all my dues, so I picked up my shoes. I got up and walked away. For I was just a boy. I didn't know how to play. Worked hard and failed, now all I can say is I threw it all away. Oh, I was just a boy, giving it all away. Sail away, sail away. myself to blame. Oh, I was just a boy, nobody else to blame. I've done all I can, now it's out of my hands. Stand on my head and say, oh, I was just a boy.
Game. And now a choice of viewing on BBC Radio. You can either turn and look out of the window, or you can sit and look at the wall. Just a reminder that later on tonight, you can look at the bedroom, and if you miss that, you can see the bathroom, which is just a bit further on. You're listening to Radio 5. Don't miss tonight's exciting episode of The Brotherhood, the thrilling story of the Pre-Raphaelites and their violent attempts to take over the art world of late Victorian times. Don't miss the excitement of Algie Swinburne. Don't miss the Rossetti brothers and sisters fighting it out with the fast-growing Burne Jones, Millais, and Holman Hunt in The Brotherhood. Silence in court, sketch.
Radio 5, you are charged with taking the P out of the Pre-Raphaelites. How do you plead?
Sycophantically.
Thank you.
Have one yourself.
Call D.G. Rossetti.
Call D.G. Rossetti.
Call D.G. Rossetti.
I'm afraid he's dead, Mullen.
That's no excuse for not coming into my court. I still make it, don't I?
Yes, Mullen. Call D.G. Rossetti again.
Call D.G. Rossetti again.
Call D.G. Rossetti again.
Call D.G. Rossetti again. He still appears to be dead, Mullen.
Where's his lawyer?
He's dead as well, Mullen.
Oh, all right. Well, call somebody living.
Call Dennis Compton.
Dennis Compton?
Yes, Mullen.
Why Dennis Compton?
I've always wanted to meet him.
Good idea. Call him.
Call Dennis Compton.
Hello?
Dennis Compton. You are charged that on or about the fourth over of the last test at the Oval in 1958, you did willfully and persistently...
I'm not him, sir.
What? Who are you?
I am Rossetti. Sorry I'm late, Squire. I was just running off with a friend's wife.
You are Rossetti?
I am my old Squire. Too right, my lad. I am that very same person. I am that he, without a doubt... There is no error at all in the assertion that I am that very geezer aforementioned. Cast your mind away from the shadow of an imputation that I am less than that he being heretofore and therein referred to. Oh, yes, that is I. I am he. He, that is me. Thank you. I am P.C. Rossetti.
P.C. Rossetti.
Yes, sir. P.C. Rossetti, at your service, sir. Ever ready to combat crime with the maximum violence, as seen on the television.
Get out of the witness box, Constable. We are looking for a poet.
Then search no further, for it is I that am he. That very type of person, what you're seeking to clap your mince pies upon, is none other than my own very good personal self-being. I am such a one as he of the kind of which you are desperately searching of. Call off the hue and cry, leash up the hounds, cage the peacocks, for it is I that stand revealed as the very type of person of whom you are seeking to look at. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Thank you, Constable.
Not at all, Your Rushership. My first poem is a two-line sonnet entitled...
Sonnets have 14 lines.
How did you know that was a title? It's a little two-line sonnet entitled Sonnets Have 14 Lines. All sonnets number 14 in line, except for those what are definitely mine. The end of the sonnet.
Thank you, Constable. I sentence you to be hanged by the knees until you are better.
Thank you, my lord.
You also win a fortnight for two in Portugal with a member of the Monday Club. This canteen of cutlery. And tonight's star prize.
Yes.
This beautiful gas refrigerator. Meanwhile... I send them to the rest of you to Charlie Daniel.
I was taking a trip out to L.A., tooling along in my Chevrolet, toking on a number and digging on the radio. Just as I crossed the Mississippi line, I heard that highway start to whine, and I knew that left rear tire was about to go. Well, the spare was flat, and I got up tight, cause there wasn't a filling station in sight, so I just limped on down the shoulder on the rim. I went as far as I could, and when I stopped the car, it was right in front of this little bar, a kind of a redneck-looking joint called the Dewdrop Inn. Well, I stuffed my hair up under my hat and told the bartender that I had a flat, and would he be kind enough to give me change for a one? Well, there was one thing I was sure proud to see. There wasn't a soul in the place except for him and me, and he just looked disgusted and pointed toward the telephone. I called up a station down the road a ways, and he said he wasn't very busy today, and he could have somebody there in just about 10 minutes or so. He said, "Now, you just stay right where you're at, and I didn't bother to tell the darn fool that I sure as hell didn't have any place else to go. I just ordered up a beer and sat down at the bar when some guy walked in and said, 'Who owns this car with the peace sign and the mag wheels and four on the floor?' Well, he looked at me and I damn near died, and I decided that I'd just wait outside, so I laid a dollar on the bar and headed for the door. Just when I thought I'd get out of there with my skin, these five big dudes come strolling in with this one old drunk chick and some fellow with green teeth. And I was almost at the door when the biggest one said, 'You tip your hat to this lady, son.' And when I did, all that hair fell out from underneath. Now, the last thing I wanted was to get in a fight in Jackson, Mississippi on a Saturday night, especially when there was three of them and only one of me. But they all started laughing and I felt kind of sick, and I knew I'd better think of something pretty quick. So I just reached out and kicked old Green Teeth right in the knee. Now, he let out a yell that'd curl your hair, but before he could move, I grabbed me a chair and said, 'Watch him, folks, because he's a thoroughly dangerous man.' Well, you may not know it, but this man's a spy. He's an undercover agent for the FBI, and he's been sent down here to infiltrate the Q Club's plan. He was still bent over holding on to his knee, but everybody else was looking and listening to me, and I laid it on thicker and heavier as I went. I said, 'Would you believe this man has gone as far as tearing Wallace stickers off the bumpers of cars, and he voted for George McGovern for president? Well, he's a friend of them long-haired hippie-type pickle fags. I bet you he's even got a commie flag tacked up on the wall inside of his garage. He's a snake in the grass, I tell you guys. He may look dumb, but that's just a disguise. He's a mastermind in the ways of espionage." They all started looking real suspicious at him, and he jumped up and said, "Now just wait a minute, Jim, you know he's lying. I've been living here all of my life. I'm a faithful follower of Brother John Birch, and I belong to the Antioch Baptist Church, and I ain't even got a garage. You can call home and ask my wife." Then he started saying something about the way I was dressed, but I didn't wait around to hear the rest. I was too busy moving and hoping I didn't run out of luck. When I hit the ground, I was making tracks, and they were just taking my car down off the jack, so I threw the man a 20 and jumped in and fired that mother up. Mario Andretti would have sure been proud of the way I was moving when I passed that crowd coming out the door and headed toward me in a trot. And I guess I should have gone ahead and run, but somehow I just couldn't resist the fun of chasing them all just once around the parking lot. Well, they're headed for their car, but I hit the gas and spun around and headed them off at the pass. I was slinging gravel and putting a ton of dust in the air. I had them all out there stepping and fetching like their heads were on fire and their asses was catching, but I figured I'd better go ahead and split before the cops got there. But when I hit the road, I was really wheeling, had gravel flying and rubber squealing, and I didn't slow down till I was almost to Arkansas. Well, I think I'm going to reroute my trip. I wonder if anybody'd think I'd flipped if I went to L.A. via Omaha.
Five o'clock, it's Sports Report. And the 5 o'clock headlines are: Arsenal go down to their Auntie Maud in the country. Leeds stay at home in the bedroom listening to early Sal Mineo records. Chelsea, hot favourites for the cup, have been sold to a property development company and are to be turned into a block of flats. While Fulham get a new job doing PR for Jimmy Hill. Well, those are the headlines, and later on in Sports Report we shall be talking to Alf Ramsey's cat.
Meow!
There'll be an interview with one of the real Alan Hardacres, and we'll be asking him if football is ruining television,
and Danny LaRue will be taking a look at drag racing in America. But right now it's time to go over to Hastings for the latest news of the chess. Well, good afternoon from the Hans and Lottie Haas Chinese restaurant Hastings, where the third day of the annual Hastings Bad Tempered Chess Congress has just ended. Perhaps the most surprising result has been that of table 4 in the window, set menu A, where the Russian Grandmaster Smyslov against the Swede Bent Olufsen seemed to be in a strong position but was offered a surprise punch in the throat and accepted a draw. Graham Pooley, the British hope who has stuck mainly to sweet and sour dishes throughout his chess, lost some ground today when on move 13 of a stock Sicilian opening, he played pawn to Redditch Worcestershire. Officials are hoping to get him back for tomorrow. Smokanovich D, the Romanian who's been having trouble with his chopsticks, in a seemingly unbeatable position yesterday, was surprised this morning when Watkins P set fire to his chair and bent his fingers back until he resigned. While Hamster, West Germany, on board 3, steamed lobster balls, fried rice and king-sized prawns, replied to Kettledrum's King's Indian Curry opening of pawn to King's Bishop 3 with the surprising knight to out of the window, and continued this unusual variation by jumping on the table and thrusting his chat queen down Kettledrum's mouth. However, the Dutch champion still had some surprising up his sleeve and shot him through the head. The new Wandsworth champion, Nigel Butcher, one of the famous Butcher quads, set a new record for white yesterday when he forced the Grandmaster Oleg Lutvich to resign on move 1. Instead of opening the game by moving a pawn, Nigel offered to put a screw in his temple, and Oleg's only conceivable reply was black to King's Cross Station. Well, we're still to see whether Miss X's overnight threat will force the chef to resign. The South African versus Rhodesia friendly has had to be abandoned as both teams were using white and no one could remember what was which, whilst the Russians have locked a bishop in the lavatory and are threatening not to pay the bill for their fried three delicious. And Jutti Stensgaard, the ITV bombshell, lost her rook overnight. Oh, that's not a chess result, that's a bit of gossip. So, to all chess buffs everywhere, bon appetit. Stu Henley from the Hans and Lottie Haas restaurant, Hastings. Well, from chess, let's turn to tennis and the latest news from Wimbledon. Are you there in Cardiff, Raymond Asprin?
No, I'm here next to you in the studio, Ron.
Oh, yes. Well, what are the latest scores at Wimbledon?
Well, the latest score is that 1,494 players have refused to play ever again, Ron, which leaves just two registered players, one of whom is in hospital suffering from death, and the other has broken his body on a camping holiday in Norway.
So that there are no players at Wimbledon this year?
Yes, that's right, Ron. But the Wimbledon organisers have said that the tournament will continue as usual. And they argue quite rightly that most of the people who come to Wimbledon will not notice the difference.
So what was the highlight of today's tournament?
Well, the strawberries, really, Ron. The second day of the mixed doubles, nobody came through to the final after 3 hours of exciting absence. The top seeds all failed to turn up, the bottom seeds are still missing, and the people in the middle have gone home. On the centre court, nothing at all. Princess Alexandra said that they had all thoroughly enjoyed watching the grass grow, except for a short delay when rain caused the covers to go on. But they were able eventually to remove them and continue sitting around. Tomorrow, no British players are down to play as well, so there is considerable excitement over their lack of arrival. So from me next to you in the studio, Ron, over to you next to me.
Thank you, Ray. Jolly exciting. One of the most memorable Wimbledons since elderly idiots started running the game. But right now...
Oh, shut up! Bloody radio! It's always full of sound. Sound, sound, sound!
Can't you get a picture?
Not a very good one.
Isn't that Nicholas Parsons?
No, that's the volume control.
You sure? It looks a bit like Nicholas Parsons.
He wouldn't be on the radio.
Too good for him.
He might be on the railway station.
Why?
To catch a train.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Sometimes I just don't listen when I'm speaking.
Well, put the radio on again.
How?
Just turn the knob.
Ouch! Woo! It was Nicholas Parsons.
Told you.
Golden lady, I'd like to go there. that made the flower grow into a lovely smile that's blooming. And it's so clear to me that here's my dream come true. There's no way that I'll be losing. And golden lady, golden lady, I'd like to go there.
like the bars, the cage within you still. And I must learn to live without you now. I must learn to give only for somehow.
Ingrams, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Now, it's your intelligence test.
Oh, yes, sir.
Vis-a-vis your application to join Mensa.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Now, you do realise, of course, that the intelligence tests are notoriously inaccurate.
Oh, yes, sir.
And that, you know, out of a possible 200, of which the average person may get 120, there is a possible range of error of 5 or 10% in either direction.
Oh, yes.
So that, in fact, intelligence tests do not guarantee total accuracy.
No, sir.
Nevertheless, we've got the result of your test here.
Oh, good. How many did I score?
Nil.
Nil?
Yes, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing at all. Not a sausage. Complete zero.
Not a very good result, then?
On the face of it, not so good a result as, say, some others who, have scored something, no.
Not as good as people who scored 180, for example?
No, no, nor even people who've scored one or two, although they are, in fact, very much closer to your sort of area of intelligence.
So, in fact, I've not scored enough to join Mensa.
No. Let's be honest, you haven't. Still, you shouldn't worry. You did get your name right at the beginning of the test.
Oh, good. I was a bit worried about that. In fact, I spent most of my time on that. I wanted to be sure to get it right.
Well, you did get it right. Perfectly right. And well done.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we don't normally give marks for getting your name right.
Oh, well, that's a pity. What with me spending most of the 2 hours on it?
Yes, that was your mistake, you know. Had you tried to answer a few of the questions instead of answering just your name, you might even have got one of them right, perhaps by accident, which would have boosted your intelligence to, say, 2, or perhaps even 3.5.
Oh, yes.
And that in itself would have been quite enough to lift you out of the moron class into the, for you, comparatively exalted reaches of cretin.
Cretin, I see. Well, I hope I haven't wasted your time, you being such an intelligent person.
Yes, I am intelligent. Extremely intelligent. Bright of you to notice that. I have an IQ of over 300.
I thought the limit was 200.
Well, I am even more intelligent than the people who devised the test.
Oh, that's good.
Well, we're both in the same boat.
How do you mean?
Well, you're more intelligent than the tests.
And I'm less intelligent. We neither of us feature on their scale.
Do you know you're damn right?
Absolutely right.
Would you like to come and be my dog?
Well, what does the post entail?
Well, you just have to sort of sit around and be around the house, really, in a sort of doggy way.
Would I have to woof?
A bit, yes.
Like that?
Yes, that's very good. Are you house trained?
Yes.
Good, well, the job's yours. Dog you are.
Thank you. How much do I get a week?
A couple of tins of dog food and as many biscuits as you can eat.
Oh, smashing.
You know, you're rather intelligent for a dog.
Oh, thank you.
Not at all. I must get you to do some tricks. You know, I think I'll call you Randy Newman.
Oh, that's a nice name.
He gives us all his love. smiling down on us from up above, and he's giving us all his love. He knows how hard we've tried. He hears the babies cry. He sees the old folks die. He gives us all his love. Now if you need someone to talk to, you can always talk to him. And if you need someone to lean on, you can lean on him. He gives us all his love. He gives us all his love. He's smiling down on us from up above. He's giving us all his love. He's smiling down on us from up above. He's giving us all his love. Going home, such a ride.
like to know that Britain's top leading philosophers are all members of the AA. Yes, if you're really going places in Europe intellectually, you cannot do without a reliable nervous breakdown service. Remember, Nietzsche himself was a member of the German branch of the AA, whilst Plato and Epicurus would not take their cars out of the garage without the comfort and security of the friendly little men in yellow. We'll send you regular copies of the AA Handbook, complete with handy advice on the problems of being, the theory of types, a complete rundown on existentialism, and how to strip a crankshaft. Cliff Mitchellmore edits the Free Drive magazine and argues that Carl Jaspers was not such a good philosopher because he belonged to the RAC. If, like Jean-Paul Sartre in France, you have problems with essence, we'll give you a list of garages where you can get it, plus details of the AA five-star touring scheme, which guarantees you roadside help, plus five stars to accompany you on your holiday. For example, if you break down in France, you will be given Mireille Mathieu and four other French radio stars, any three of whom may be Sacha Distel. In addition, the AA guarantees to get you home if your marriage breaks down. So don't delay. Join the AA today. Hooray!
You're listening to Radio 5. And now an appeal on behalf of the new poor by the new rich. This week, the Right Honourable Anthony Demolition Co., PCMP, 50,000 a year, talks to the middle classes.
Good evening, middle classes. This year, for the first time, many English people will not be able to afford to eat. And this year, for the first time, it'll be you. Many of you middle classes will be enjoying all the advantages of going hungry that the poor have enjoyed for years. Last year, many very rich people took lots of little Kenyan Asians into their homes as pets. If you have an old kennel or an attic room or a coal hole in a smokeless zone and you'd like to take a little starving English middle-class person in, either for a month or a laugh, then we'll be only too happy to send you one at a stroke. Write to me at one of my houses and I'll be only too happy to get someone to do something about it for me just as soon as I get back from one of my holidays.
Well, if you would like to help a starving middle-class English person, then you're obviously some kind of a lefty and should be shot. However, you may like to know that if you give your money to the minister, he will keep it. Write to Middle Class Fam, Department 3, next door to Department 2, fairly near Department 5, the Department, London W.C. Fields. Hello?
Hello, HMD Radprogast, head of B1 here again.
Oh, hello.
Look, we've had rather a lot of complaints about your Radio 5, so I'm stopping it.
Oh, but it was going quite well.
I'm sorry, that was Radio 5. I'm also sorry that Eric Idle wrote and appeared in it, and was apparently assisted by Lynn Ashley, who is a pretty girl and shouldn't be messed up in all this. It was produced by Clive Burrows, who we've now dealt with, and you may notice that it's scheduled again for next week. But I'll try and do something about this at board level. Until then, that's the end of this nonsense.